Well, good afternoon, little children. Welcome. It's June 26th, 2023. The time is 18:31 hours Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you. Beginning with a quote from Mark Twain. Whenever you find yourself on the side of the majority, it is time to pause and reflect. And I have a song here from 1978. It was number 8 on Canada's singles chart from the Canadian Recording Association. Number 10 on the RPM top singles in Canada. Number 14 on the Dance Urban RPM chart in Canada. It was number 6 in France. And number 1 on the U.S. Hot Soul Singles, as well as number 8 on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100, and number 6 on the U.S. Cash Box Top 100 in 1978 and 79. That was the peak. Those were the peak positions in those countries and on those charts. From Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's right. I was going to say something about the singer is Maurice White. From Earth, Wind, and Fire, this is September.
Thank you.
1978. That was released in November of that year. That's why it went on to the next year on the charts. So, let me reset the equalization. Okay, now in our Wild Road article, part 2, chapter 12, paragraph 7. At this, the halfway point of the chapter, it is already possible to ascertain already that we will not be able to give more than a rundown of the Red Sea crossing, it being worthy of at least an entire article on its own. Bruce's Valley of Budea leads direct to Wadi Tawarik. The plain of Wadi Musa, or Tawarik, is 18 miles long along the western strand of the Red Sea's western arm. Here the sea's breadth is itself from 6 to 12 miles. In his own book, Mr. James Bruce explains the approach of the Israelites to the Red Sea coastal encampment. Excuse me, I need to make sure that I'm not bumping my mic here. About 12 leagues from the sea, there was a narrow road which turned to the right between the mountains through a valley called Badia. This is quoting from Mr. Bruce. Where their course was nearly southeast, this valley ended in a pass between two considerable mountains called Gawube on the south and Jebel Ataka on the north, and opened into the low stripe of country which runs all along the Red Sea, and the Israelites were ordered to encamp at Pi Hahiroth opposite to Baal Zephon between Migdol and that sea. This is from Travels to Discover the Source of the Nile by James Bruce. It's volume 2 from 1813. Elam from Mara is 37.15 kilometers or 23.1 miles or 11 miles per day, 11 and a half miles per day to be more precise, as a two-day journey with some hilly terrain. Abu Zanaima was Ras Zalima, in brackets Ras Salima, of old. The bracket ended with the word Salima, actually. Of old, Ras Zalima of old, and the Z or S is a prefix to the original name of, quote, unquote, Elim. From Elim, they marched to the wilderness of Sin, which is about 11 miles, a one-day journey, also with hills. They arrived here on the 15th day of the second month. After their coming out of the land of Egypt, which may be no less than 30 days after the Nisan 15 departure. That's from Exodus 16 and 1 and Numbers 33 and 3. Those footnotes 7 and 8. In 1850, the book Atlas of Palestine and the Sinai Peninsula by H. Malman, the wilderness of Sin, named in German Wüste, Sin, or waste, Sin, the wilderness being the word waste, in other words, in German, latitude 29 north, longitude 30.8 east, is on the Red Sea coast, 69 kilometers, in brackets 43 miles from Mount Serbal, or in Numbers 33, verses 11 through 14, three stations from Rephidim, a place identified as Phairan, in brackets Phairan, end bracket, 6 miles from the Mount Serbal, or 37 miles for 3 days, 12 miles per day, in brackets. That's the end of our study for today from this article. We're seeing similar numbers again, 12 miles a day, 13 miles a day, it's similar. A one-day journey of 11 miles, very similar numbers, which are very consistent with the concept and the belief that this really did happen, that they really did do these things, and that the Bible is true. And were finding information from books that were written sometimes in the 1800s or 1700s, which are fairly modern compared to the ancient times, these books, but they contain information that is very useful, because some of it may not be as easily found today as it was in the 1700s or 1800s, and so it's very valuable to us. And now, let's go to our proverb for today, little children. Proverbs 18 and 1. One isolating himself will seek his own selfish longing. Against all practical wisdom, he will break forth. Remember the scripture also, the one calling upon the name of Jehovah will be saved. So, when we're having trouble, when we're lacking faith, or when we're experiencing difficulties, we should remember to call upon the name of Jehovah, bring his name into our mind. And that will empower us, because Jehovah can give us power, and it never fails to give us the correct power, the power in the right way, to do the right thing. That's what the name of Jehovah does for us. It sounds almost too good to be true, but it does work. It's worked for me every time I've done it. The only problem is when we don't do it. Leviticus 26, you must not make valueless gods for yourselves. Continuing from Leviticus 25, which is talking about Jehovah speaking these words to Moses as part of the Mosaic law. At the end of that chapter 25, we saw that Jehovah was speaking. He said, I am Jehovah your God. You must not, in verse 1 of chapter 26, make valueless gods for yourselves, and you must not set up a carved image or a sacred pillar for yourselves, and you must not put a stone as a showpiece in your land in order to bow down toward it, for I am Jehovah your God. You should keep my Sabbaths and stand in awe of my sanctuary. I am Jehovah. If you continue walking in my statutes and keeping my commandments, and you do carry them out, I shall also certainly give your showers of rain at the proper time. And the land will indeed give its yield, and the tree of the field will give its fruit, and your thrashing will certainly reach to your grape gathering, and the grape gathering will reach to the sowing of seed. And you will indeed eat your bread to satisfaction and dwell in security in your land. And I will put peace in the land. And you will indeed lie down with no one making you tremble. And I will make the injurious wild beast cease out of the land. And the sword will not pass through your land. And you will certainly chase your enemies, and they will indeed fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you will certainly chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. And your enemies will indeed fall before you by the sword. And I will turn myself to you and make you fruitful and multiply you. And I will carry out my covenant with you. And you will certainly eat the old of the preceding year. And you will bring out the old ahead of the new. And I shall certainly put your tabernacle in the midst of you. And my soul will not abhor you. And I shall indeed walk in the midst of you and prove myself your God. And you on your part will prove yourselves my people. I am Jehovah your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from acting as slaves to them. And I proceeded to break the bars of your yoke and make you walk erect. However, if you will not listen to me, nor do all these commandments, and if you will reject my statutes, and if your souls will abhor my judicial decision so as not to do all my commandments, to the extent of your violating my covenant, then I for my part shall do the following to you. And in punishment, I shall certainly bring upon you disturbance with tuberculosis and burning fever, causing the eyes to fail and making the soul pine away. And you will simply sow your seed for nothing, as your enemies will certainly eat it up. And I shall indeed set my face against you, and you will certainly be defeated before your enemies. And those who hate you will just tread down upon you. And you will actually flee when no one is pursuing you. If, though, despite these things, you will not listen to me, I shall then have to chastise you 7 times as much for your sins. And I shall have to break the pride of your strength and make your heavens like iron and your earth like copper, and your power will simply be expended for nothing, as your earth will not give its yield, and the tree of the earth will not give its fruit. But if you keep walking in opposition to me and not wishing to listen to me, I shall then have to inflict 7 times more blows upon you according to your sins. And I will send the wild beasts of the field among you, and they will certainly bereave you of children and cut off your domestic animals and reduce the number of you. And your roads will actually be desolated. Nevertheless, if with these things you do not let yourselves be corrected by me, and you just have to walk in opposition to me, I shall then have to walk in opposition to you. And I shall have to strike you 7 times for your sins, and I shall certainly bring upon you a sword, wreaking vengeance for the covenant. And you will indeed gather yourselves into your cities, and I shall certainly send pestilence into the midst of you. And you must be given into the hand of an enemy. When I have broken for you the rods around which ring-shaped loaves are suspended, 10 women will then actually bake your bread in but one oven and give back your bread by weight. And you must eat, but you will not be satisfied. If, however, with this you will not listen to me, and you just must walk in opposition to me, I shall then have to walk in heated opposition to you. And I shall have to chastise you 7 times for your sins. So you will have to eat the flesh of your sons, and you will eat the flesh of your daughters. And I shall certainly annihilate your sacred high places, and cut off your incense stands, and lay your own carcasses upon the carcasses of your dungy idols. And my soul will simply abhor you. And I shall indeed give your cities to the sword, and lay your sanctuaries desolate. And I shall not smell your restful odors. And I, for my part, will lay the land desolate, and your enemies who are dwelling in it will simply stare in amazement over it. And you I shall scatter among the nations, and I will unsheathe the sword after you, and your land must become a desolation, and your cities will become a desolate ruin. At that time the land will pay off its Sabbaths, all the days of its lying desolated, while you are in the land of your enemies. At that time the land will keep Sabbath, as it must repay its Sabbaths. All the days of its lying desolated it will keep Sabbath, for the reason that it did not keep Sabbath during your Sabbaths when you were dwelling upon it. As for those remaining among you, I shall certainly bring timidity into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a leaf driven about will indeed chase them away, and they will actually flee as in flight from a sword and fall without anyone chasing. And they will certainly stumble against one another, as if from before a sword, without anyone chasing. And for you there will prove to be no ability to stand in resistance before your enemies. And you must perish among the nations. As for those remaining among you, they will rot away because of their error in the land, and lands, I should say, plural, of your enemies. Yes, even because of the errors of their fathers, with them they will rot away. And they will certainly confess their own error and the error of their fathers in their unfaithfulness when they behaved unfaithfully toward me, yes, even when they walked in opposition to me. Yet I, for my part, proceeded to walk in opposition to them, and I had to bring them into the land of their enemies. Perhaps at that time their uncircumcised heart will be humbled, and at that time they will pay off their error. And I shall indeed remember my covenant with Jacob, and even my covenant with Isaac, and even my covenant with Abraham I shall remember, and the land I shall remember. All the while the land was left abandoned by them and was paying off its Sabbaths while it was lying desolated without them, and they themselves were paying for their error, because, even because, they had rejected my judicial decisions and their souls had abhorred my statutes. And yet for all this, while they continue in the land of their enemies, I shall certainly not reject them, nor abhor them so as to exterminate them, to violate my covenant with them, for I am Jehovah their God. And I will remember in their behalf the covenant of the ancestors whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt under the eyes of the nations, in order to prove myself their God. I am Jehovah. These are the regulations and the judicial decisions and the laws that Jehovah set between himself and the sons of Israel in Mount Sinai by means of Moses. So we see there's more to the Mosaic Law than the Ten Commandments. Now, Acts chapter 7, which we didn't do yesterday, the high priest asked Stephen, are these things so? Is it so that you said that Jesus would throw down the temple and build another temple not built with hands in 3 days? He said, men, brothers and fathers, hear. The God of glory appeared to our forefather Abraham while he was in Mesopotamia before he took up residence in Haran. And he said to him, go out from your land and from your relatives and come on into the land I shall show you. Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and took up residence in Haran. And from there, after his father died, God caused him to change his residence to this land in which you now dwell. And yet he did not give him any inheritable possession in it. No, not a foot breadth, but he promised to give it to him as a possession, and after him to his seed, while as yet he had no child. Moreover, God spoke to this effect, that his seed would be alien residents in a foreign land, and the people would enslave them and afflict them for 400 years, and that nation for which they will slave I shall judge, God said. And after these things they will come out and will render sacred service to me in this place. He also gave him a covenant of circumcision, and thus he became the father of Isaac and circumcised him on the 8th day, and Isaac of Jacob, and Jacob of the 12 family heads. And the family heads became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt. But God was with him, and he delivered him out of all his tribulations and gave him graciousness and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he appointed him to govern Egypt and his whole house. But a famine came upon the whole of Egypt and Canaan, even a great tribulation. And our forefathers were not finding any provisions. But Jacob heard there were foodstuffs in Egypt, and he sent our forefathers out the first time. And during the second time, Joseph was made known to his brothers, and the family stock of Joseph became manifest to Pharaoh. So Joseph sent out and called Jacob his father and all his relatives from that place to the number of 75 souls. Jacob went down into Egypt, and he deceased. And so did our forefathers, and they were transferred to Shechem and were laid in the tomb that Abraham had bought for a price with silver money from the sons of Hamor in Shechem. Just as the time was approaching for the fulfillment of the promise that God had openly declared to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt until there rose a different king over Egypt who did not know of Joseph. This one used statecraft against our race and wrongfully forced the fathers to expose their infants that they might not be preserved alive. In that particular time, Moses was born, and he was divinely beautiful, and he was nursed 3 months in his father's home. But when he was exposed, the daughter of Pharaoh picked him up and brought him up as her own son. Consequently, Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. In fact, he was powerful in his words and deeds. Now, when the time of his 40th year was being fulfilled, it came into his heart to make an inspection of his brothers, the sons of Israel. And when he caught sight of a certain one being unjustly treated, he defended him and executed vengeance for the one being abused by striking the Egyptian down. He was supposing his brothers would grasp that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not grasp it. And the next day he appeared to them as they were fighting, and he tried to bring them together again in peace, saying, men, you are brothers. Why do you treat each other unjustly? But the one that was treating his neighbor unjustly thrust him away, saying, who appointed you ruler and judge over us? You do not want to do away with me in the same manner that you did away with the Egyptian yesterday, do you? At this speech, Moses took to flight and became an alien resident in the land of Midian, where he became the father of 2 sons. And when 40 years were fulfilled, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel in the fiery flame of a thorn bush. Now when Moses saw it, he marveled at the sight. But as he was approaching to investigate, God's voice came. I am the God of your forefathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Seized with trembling, Moses did not dare to investigate further. Jehovah said to him, take the sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. I have certainly seen the wrongful treatment of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you off to Egypt. To this, Moses, whom they disowned, saying, who appointed you ruler and judge? This man God sent off as both ruler and deliverer by the hand of the angel that appeared to him in the thorn bush. This man led them out after doing portents and signs in Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moses that said to the sons of Israel, God will raise up for you from among your brothers a prophet like me. This is he that came to be among the congregation in the wilderness with the angel that spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our forefathers, and he received living sacred pronouncements to give you. To him our forefathers refused to become obedient, but they thrust him aside, and in their hearts they turned back to Egypt, saying to Aaron, make gods for us to go ahead of us, for this Moses who led us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him. So they made a calf in those days and brought up a sacrifice to the idol and began to enjoy themselves in the works of their hands. So God turned and handed them over to render sacred service to the army of heaven, just as it is written in the book of the prophets, it was not to me that you offered victims and sacrifices for 40 years in the wilderness, was it, O house of Israel? But it was the tent of Moloch and the star of the god Rephan that you took up, the figures which you made to worship them. Consequently, I will deport you beyond Babylon. End quote. Our forefathers had the tent of the witness in the wilderness, just as he gave orders when speaking to Moses to make it according to the pattern he had seen. And our forefathers who succeeded to it also brought it in with Joshua into the land possessed by the nations whom God thrust out from before our forefathers. Here it remained until the days of David. He found favor in the sight of God and asked for the privilege of providing a habitation for the God of Jacob. However, Solomon built a house for him. Nevertheless, the Most High does not dwell in houses made with hands, just as the prophet says, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What sort of house will you build for me, Jehovah says, or what is the place for my resting? My hand made all these things, did it not? Obstinate men and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you are always resisting the Holy Spirit. As our forefathers did, so do you. Which one of the prophets did your forefathers not persecute? Yes, they killed those who made announcement in advance concerning the coming of the Righteous One, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become, you who received the law as transmitted by angels, but have not kept it. That's the end of Stephen's speech. Well, at hearing these things, they felt cut to their hearts and began to gnash their teeth at him. But he, being full of Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and caught sight of God's glory and of Jesus standing at God's right hand. And he said, look, I behold the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at God's right hand. At this they cried out at the top of the voice and put their hands over their ears and rushed upon him with one accord. And after throwing him outside the city, they began casting stones at him. And the witnesses laid down their outer garments at the feet of a young man called Saul, also later known as Paul. And they went on casting stones at Stephen as he made appeal and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then, bending his knees, he cried out with a strong voice, Jehovah, do not charge this sin against them. And after saying this, he fell asleep in death. That's the end of Acts chapter 7. We see when we read the book of Jasher chapter 13 that Abraham originally moved into the land of Canaan at the age of 55 temporarily, and then he returned at the age of 70 to the land of Haran, where his father was living, and stayed there 5 years. And when he was 75 years old, he moved with Lot. For the first time, Lot came with him to the land of Canaan when Abraham was 75 years old. And we also see from the book of Genesis 11:26 that Terah was 70 years old when Abram was born. So Terah was living long after Abram moved to Canaan at the age of 75. Let's just check this Genesis scripture here. Genesis 26, Terah lived on for 70 years, after which he became father to Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Right. So taking that at face value, Terah was 70 when Abram was born. And, I mean, yeah, we're not going to look at the book of Jasher today. That would be too much. But it's in chapter 13 of the book of Jasher. So we're reading the book of Acts, chapter 7. So when Stephen writes about this matter of Abraham moving when his name was still Abram, he moved to Haran, and after his father died, he changed his residence to that land, it says. But he was already living there, of course, when he was 55 and also when he was 75. But officially, when his father died, of course, he would no longer have any necessary association to Haran, where his father was previously dwelling. So that's the interpretation of that, if we take it that Terah was 70 when Abraham was born. Since Terah lived to the age of 205, also from the scriptures, that is 135 years after Abram was born. So Abram was 135 years old when his father died, and that became then his permanent residence, officially, the land of Canaan, that is. So we're just about at the end of the study now. We've concluded our study of Acts chapter 7 and Leviticus chapter 26. It's June 26th, 2023, 19:03 hours. Ward Green with you. I love you very much. I hope you enjoyed the study. I know I did. I keep learning. There's so many factors. When you're recording, you have to make sure your microphone is not touching anything. Otherwise, you have to redo the whole recording. Not saying that has happened to me personally, although it may have. And as it is June 26, 2023, 19:04 hours now, on my behalf, it is Cammie. No, yeah, that's Cammie. That is Cammie, the Orient Watch. And this is Sissy. Beautiful, beautiful watch by Cadison. Saying bye for now.